You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. One, two, three, four. One, two, three,
hey. And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz along with Scott Eckersley, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Bob Boehm, who is Manager of Commodities and Markets at the Michigan Farm Bureau. How are you this evening, Bob?
Well, we're doing all right if it would quit raining.
Yeah. Well, you and a large chorus of other folks, you looking at it for a different reason than some of us are, though, had read an article which prompted my call to you. This is a whole different thing just for me who enjoys sunshine than farmers trying to get these crops in.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we compare to the most recent year, and last year we were way ahead of schedule. And when you compare last year to this year, we were quite a ways along, well over half the crops planted, and this year we barely have anything in the ground. So people are getting a little antsy as the calendar starts to tick towards May 1st.
Well, and it looked like the article I read said the Lansing rainfall is up about a little over 30% between March and this week. So, I mean, that's huge.
We seem to be caught in this jet stream where we have the severe weather you've been talking about to the south on the warm side of the front, and we continue to get the cold and showers to the north, and we are above average on rainfall. And while that the old adage is rain makes grain, we do have to get the crop in the ground, and we need the window of opportunity of probably a 10 days to 2 weeks of good weather to be able to get that job done.
And one of the thoughts that I had, Bob, is, okay, let's say that today is the last day of rain for a while. That doesn't mean they can hop in the fields tomorrow. Things are so saturated that it's going to take a little time to dry out for equipment, isn't it?
That's right. Otherwise, you end up compacting the soil, and that causes problems down the road. So, yeah, I've talked to farmers. It could be, depending on where they're at in the state and the type of soils, but 3 to 5 days of good weather to dry things out. The other thing you have to keep in mind is it's been very cool, below normal temperatures, and that soil temperature needs to get up in the 50s to be able to germinate the seed once you do get it planted. So it's not just moisture, it's also temperature.
And the not being able to get started is a problem. And of course, one of the articles I read talked about liking to be able to have things planted by May 1st. Well, clearly that's not going to happen. And obviously then we have what equates to a shorter growing season.
Right. The idea, there's an optimal window to get things planted in the spring so that in the case of corn, which is our largest acreage crop in Michigan, it pollinates at a time when maybe we're not in the hottest and driest period. So we have a good pollination and we have a good full ear of corn, and that helps yield. The other thing that happens if you end up planting late is you run the risk, depending on how many growing degree days or how much heat we have this summer, that the crop may not have enough days to mature fully before we have a frost in the fall that could hurt yield or quality.
So it's kind of a double whammy this year.
Yeah, I mean, farmers have one paycheck a year, and it starts with being able to get the crop planted. So there's a lot of concern about getting it in. I'm sure we'll get the crop in, but I'm sure we've also lost some yield potential because we haven't been able to get things planted quite as quick. And it's not just Michigan. It's the entire Corn Belt is virtually at a standstill. So that impacts things on a global basis. Corn is in pretty short supply around the world. We were hoping to get some extra acreage planted. And when you lose some days in April, again, not in just in Michigan but across the country, it makes it harder to be able to get all those acres planted that you wanted to, and there'll probably be some drowned out spots and other things that just won't get planted.
Well, will this equate to higher prices for some of these things?
I think we could see some higher prices. It's certainly impacting the corn and the soybeans we raise, impacts feed costs for the livestock and the dairy sector. We're already seeing prices respond to the delay in planting. We were a short supply of corn in terms of last year's crop to be able to carry us through the usage we need throughout the summer until we can get to the 2011 harvest. And there was a lot of expectation that with some extra planted acres and maybe being able to plant some corn early in the south, we could maybe start to harvest a little earlier than normal. And I think people have pretty much decided that's probably not going to happen. A lot depends on what happens the rest of the summer, though, so we always have to be optimistic that Mother Nature's going to straighten out here and we get the crop planted and get off and running.
Well, and you know, we're looking at this, you know, folks just hanging out or looking at the rain and thinking, wow, this is a miserable spring for rain. But farmers and folks in the agriculture business, I mean, this is just one of the cards that you're dealt that has to be looked at, and nothing you can do about it. You just prepare and follow along.
That's right. I mean, we're dealing with Mother Nature, and you just have to be prepared. And when the weather breaks, everybody has to be ready to go, which is probably the one caution I would put out, is be a little understanding when you're following a tractor and pulling a big piece of equipment. When the weather does break, these guys are going to be working around the clock with lights and other things to try to, you know, make up for lost time. So hopefully people can be careful. We don't want any accidents, that kind of thing. So that would be a good message.
I'm pleased that I would not have even thought of that, so I appreciate that a lot. In terms of the planting season, again, and some reading that I had done, the sugar beets traditionally go in. They're one of the first crops to go in. Are any of those, have any of those gotten in as far as you're aware?
Yeah, USDA estimates that we might have 10 to 12 to 15% of the sugar beet crop planted. Last year at this time, it was done.
Wow.
So they're quite a ways behind. Again, we can catch up, but there's a certain plan of work that you like to try to do. You'd like to get the crops in so that as the alfalfa begins to get ready to harvest for feed, you've got the equipment, the people available for that. I'm afraid what we're going to have is sort of everything happening at once, and people are going to be pulled in multiple directions to try to make up for lost time. On the positive side, this cool weather does have a little silver lining in that the fruit trees, which we grow a lot of apples and blueberries and cherries in this state, have not developed very fast. So they're not as susceptible to a frost or a freeze. Last year, we had all that great weather in the spring that really brought the buds on quickly and the blossoms, and then we had a devastating freeze that about cut the apple and tart cherry crops in half. So we're optimistic that we're going to have a better crop in the fruit industry because of this cool weather in the spring. But we do need things to start warming up. It's time.
Well, I heard directly from you. We'll hope it'll move in that direction. Bob, I appreciate your time this evening and giving us your expertise on this. We'll continue to hope that the rain all stops and things can dry up, and we'll be careful and watch for farm machinery on the roads.
Appreciate that, Cheryl. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bob Boehm, who is the manager of commodities and markets at the Michigan Farm Bureau. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.